You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with Something Rather Than Nothing, and very excited this episode to have Ghost Frog with Quinn Schwartz and Carl Boeheim, a band I've just really gotten into lately. Guys, I am very excited that you've made it to Something Rather Than Nothing.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Happy to be here.
Now, I've listened to your music, which I highly enjoy. There's been new videos come out. There's a lot of fascinating elements to Ghost Frog, but we're two questions on the intro to Ghost Frog is, where did Ghost Frog the project come from? And I saw that there really are ghost frogs. That's a type of a frog. do you know anything about ghost frogs? Frogs.
Yeah, the project started, Carl and I are both from Alaska originally. We went to high school up there in Anchorage together, and we started playing music together and writing songs and stuff after we had both kind of graduated college, and we were back in Alaska for a while.
Living with our parents,
and we were both super depressed.
Yeah, in Alaska?
During the winter, dark and cold.
Dumped.
And yeah, we'd both just gotten dumped by our long-term girlfriends. We were commiserating together and started writing music as a form of therapy and whatnot.
It started
a lot of really bad, like super emo.
Yeah, it started in our own like personal pandemic back in.
Yeah.
Well, so you were riding the high streak right then, right?
Yeah.
Now you said at the time you were up in Alaska, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was it, I mean, I'm from New England and have had limited exposure to that far north, but is it the type of, you know, is the type of climate, which is the amount of sunlight and all those type of things are an issue, despite, in addition to the cold, right?
Yeah, that, for me personally, the sunlight thing is the biggest issue. I mean, it's like Anchorage, where we're from, is South Central, so it's not like, not crazy North Slope. You know, freeze your eyeballs out cold, but like the darkness in the height of winter is like 20 hours of darkness, and it really gets you. And but like on the flip side, you get like 20 hours of sunlight, or even more sometimes, it feels like, just for the solstice. So it's just the greatest highs you can get.
Very bipolar place to live.
Yeah, I think some of the limit of my knowledge is from like 30 Days of Night and Barrow, you know, like, and I hate to say stuff like that, but like, I just have that point of reference. But tell us more about the Ghost Frog, the development beyond the, you know, beyond being up there in Alaska and how the project continued.
Yeah. So then I went to college in Portland at PSU. And so I, came back down here, and then Carl, and also like I had a bunch of family living down here, like siblings and stuff. So I'd always been coming down to Portland through most of my life because my brother lived here like ever since the early 90s. So I'd come visit him and stuff. So yeah, moved back down here, and Carl came down and joined me, and we kept writing music, and I recruited my college friend Archie to play bass. He's an amazing bass player, and we got another one of our mutual friends to join us on drums, Ben Heckler, and that was like the first iteration of the band. And then we played a lot of shows just around the Portland area, and put out an album called Laser Tag, and then pretty much have been doing the same thing ever since. And we put out two more albums since then. And yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, thanks. And we're talking about with Quinn Schwartz and Carl Boeheim of Ghost Frog, and I tell you, the music really appeals to me. We're going to play some for the listeners, but the influences I just adore. So you know, I believe in, you know, Sasquatch and you know, UFOs, and heavily influenced by science fiction and you know, movies and books. And of course the gaming themes. A couple of my boys are very much into gaming. I played video games for a long time, but could you just both tell us kind of like the bits and pieces that that show up in your music, or the stuff that shows up as far as influences?
Yeah. Well, I think we're all just pretty big nerds. You know, I always wanted to do a band that would incorporate like a lot of my other interests, and I feel like there's not that much music that gets really conceptual, like in the sci-fi realm. So I just thought that was a cool area to explore. I've always loved reading sci-fi books and watching like old sci-fi B movies and stuff, and I just fascinated by, you know, outer space and aliens and all that good stuff. I don't know if anyone else in the band is really as into that stuff as I am.
Oh, I definitely am, for sure. I grew up with obviously Star Wars is like I watched that like as a 9-year-old pretty much every day, 3 times. But yeah, a lot of my influences musically. So I come from classical music background, and so I didn't really start playing guitar or rock until later in life. So Quinn introduced me to a lot of like what was like cool rock and roll, what was cool and heavy. And I was coming from like playing in orchestra and listening to Mozart. Yeah. So that was kind of my background.
Yeah. And I think Carl's background in classical music lent itself really well to the whole like sci-fi aesthetic, because it brings in this whole like cinematic quality to like the melodies and stuff.
Yeah. And all that,
which makes it, which evokes like, you know, sci-fi film scores in my mind.
Totally. When all that sci-fi music is so influenced by like, you know, 60s sci-fi music is so influenced by like classical composers like Debussy and Chopin, and that was like my favorite stuff, that French impressionistic music.
Yeah.
Growing up.
For sure.
Yeah, I was I love hearing about that and the classical you know, the influences and kind of like the sweeping, you know, epic parts of the sound. I'd never been to the symphony, and I had a habit of going to the Portland you know, symphony when that was held regularly. But I remember listening to some, you know, some of Beethoven and some of classical music, and I'm not educated in that way, but the intensity and the rock and roll that was just embedded, it just blew me away. And it's a big stretch sometimes for some folks, but not so much, right?
Totally. I mean, Beethoven in his time was like the heaviest, most hardcore rocker,
the original rock star.
Yeah, this guy loses his hearing and he just keeps on getting heavier and harder and more badass as he's writing it. It's insane. He's like the OG.
I think we just hit, you know, you could take a course on this stuff. I think you just hit it right there, man. They're OG, right? I mean, that's it right there.
Yeah, I mean, we're all influenced by something. It's like a chain of influences.
Hey, guys, I wanted to cut into, it's tough to to talk about music, I want to give people, the listeners, a little bit of a taste for the music. There's a track, Kill Screen, that I want to cut to. And this is off Astral Arcade. Anything you want to say about this particular track?
I think it's my favorite song that we've ever done. So.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
I'm really proud of it.
I love it. I love it. Okay, everybody, we got the Kill Screen coming up from Ghost Frog. Yeah. Well done.
Thanks, man.
Well done. Love that track. I've seen that you have had some videos coming out. What's the story behind the videos? I've seen a couple lately.
We made a video for that track. We've always done our own videos like in a pretty DIY way. Usually we just, you know, get some costumes and some props and go out and just film ourselves acting,
doing stupid stuff.
Pretty much. I think part of like our being super influenced by sci-fi movies comes into play with our videos, because I just like to use them as a vehicle for like telling little short stories, like almost like little mini short films, just as my own. I like to look at the song like it's a, you know, like it's a score for like a short film.
Yeah.
You know? So sometimes even when we're writing the songs, I'll be thinking about like music video ideas. So I definitely think the music videos are, I see them as like an extension of what we're doing, you know, creatively and artistically. It's an important aspect for me.
Yeah, I've enjoyed seeing that they're a lot of fun, and definitely compliment your musical style. I got a big question. We have to give the listeners your answers to some of the bigger philosophical questions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, hey guys, help me out here. What is art?
Woo! You want to take that one, Carl?
Art. I honestly, I think art is it's a reflection of what's going on in society. It's like if you go look at a mirror when you're having a bad day, or society's having a bad year or decade or 100 years or something, when society looks in the mirror and the reflection they get back, which is, in my mind, it is art. So like it's like they look in the mirror, they look, what comes back is that art, this production of people's emotions and passions, trying to, I guess, create something in the mirror. That is a terrible answer.
I think
I smoked a little bit too much weed before. I'm sorry, kid.
No, wait a second. No, I'm gonna rescue you here, because the mirror is the reflection. It's the reflection, and it turns it around at the same time, right? So
yeah,
right.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Exactly.
I knew that was there. What's I kick this one around too, guys. What's the role of art? And you know, and I started asking this more of saying, hey, you know, what is art, and get a definition. But we have absurd political times. We got a world feeling in upheaval. We got people basically with a kind of a drip line to their Wi-Fi and social media. A lot of strange things happening. What's art's role in all this right now? Does it have a different role, or what's its role?
For me, I mean, it's I think it's crucial in preserving people's, or what's left of people's sanity. I think if what would we do during this whole pandemic if we didn't have books to read and movies to watch and records to listen to? We would all be totally screwed, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a way of being able to connect with people without actually having to physically be present with them, which really lends itself to this particular situation.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for art, like you're saying right now, we'd all be so paranoid. I feel like, you know, like it is the connection to humanity, and without that connection, you isolate, you hate.
Yeah,
it's like a guard against violence in a weird way.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've seen is people think about it within political terms, but you know, there's such an intensity to the art that's been created, but there's also things like the defunding, you know, under Trump, there's nothing artful in my mind about any of that stuff. So it's kind of like art stands in opposition to our recent times.
Totally.
One of the big questions I ask, and it's kind of to get into how you both developed as artists. I was wondering if you could each reflect on who or what made you who you are, a person or influence or a dang record or what?
Well, I got a shout out to Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit.
There we go.
Dude, he got me wanting to play electric guitar because
nice.
His riffs were pretty sick. But yeah,
we grew up in the new metal era, so
and now
we apologize if any of those influences come through in our music, but we can't help it. It's embedded in our psyches.
But it was also like you start going down their trail of influences, and then you discover some really rad shit. Like, yo, just keep on going back in their trail of influence, like from 9 years old to like whatever, you find some incredible stuff.
Totally. And I would argue that, you know, the time hasn't been very kind to that era of music, but I think, you know, they had a lot of interesting ideas musically, and I think it was a pretty creative time in like mainstream music. You know, I think it was for better or worse. You could definitely argue that a lot of the vocals and the lyrics are pretty cringeworthy nowadays, but I think musically they had a lot of kind of pretty cool stuff happening. So
my,
I think it's a bad rap, you know.
Oh, I think, you know, want to hear something interesting is my son, Aiden, he's 17, and he's self-taught guitar, just really obsessive into music like I am, and is a really good guitar player. But, you know, he reintroduced me to nu metal. I didn't really listen to that much of it at the time. And so my experience of nu metal was not at the time. It was actually my son over the last year or two who appreciates a lot what was in the nu metal teaching me. So it was a very interesting dynamic of how I learned about it. And I ended up with a much more favorable impression of nu metal than anybody I talked to because of his influence.
That's cool. You're probably like a very unique and individual in that sense. Like most of us were forced to grow up in it or forced to listen to it all the time because that was everything back in the day. And I think that's why I get such a bad rap. It's
but like, we loved it too.
We loved it, but like everybody else who was forced to listen to it really, I don't know if they loved it as much, but...
Hey, but here's the thing too. No, I appreciate that. It's just kind of a fun thing that my son has taught me. But I'm also a little bit unreliable. As I love you guys, but I'm also the only music I've listened to from December on has been Taylor Swift's last two albums in Ghost Frog. And guys, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it makes sense to me, but I'm having this conversation with others and they're not vibing with me on this.
I haven't listened to them. Are they're good?
I mean, I'm a Swiftie, all right? And you might not have.
I am too, man. 1989 is
a 1989 is a banger.
I think that is one of the greatest albums in a long time. Like
I love that. I love her last few albums. I'm like a 1989 and on are all my favorite ones. But the her last, the Evermore and Folklore, are deep, dark fucking trips. Listen to it. They are, it's it's stark, it's intense, and creative. She's there's a lot of emotional depth there, and I love it. Anyways, but it's her in Ghost Frog for me lately. So you know what? Do you think?
Two sides wow, of man. One dark coin.
We're in good company. That's funny. Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely write like pop songs, you know.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that we're that far removed from Taylor Swift. Like, I mean, we try to write catchy sounding shit. Yeah. You know? But we try to balance it out with some weirdness and some darkness and some noise and to just yeah. so that it's not completely like, you know, sugary.
Sugar pop.
Yeah.
I mean, like our biggest influences when we were starting out, like we were listening to a lot of Nirvana, and you were showing me
Fugazi.
Which is also
totally a pop band.
Oh, yeah.
Fugazi.
Yeah.
Fugazi and Nirvana are like, in my opinion, like some of the best pop songwriters, like just in a different, you know, they're simple hooks and like just really, really freaking good pop songs, great melodies.
Yeah, it's just a different aesthetic as far as like yeah. the sound, you know, the instrumentation and the production and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's all just like hooks.
Yeah.
Well, it's confusing I'm really fascinated that you brought that up because you know I was when we were talking here, I was thinking of Nirvana, and I think Nirvana as a band still presents big problems for like casual music listeners because. Right. You can dance and have fun dancing to Nirvana. But some of the vocals and some of the tracks are just super, you know, at times intense and abrasive, but melodies, right? Melodies yeah. for the most part.
For sure.
Yeah.
He was a genius melody writer.
Yeah.
Kurt.
And I think like the contrast, like we always talk about how like contrast is what makes like a lot of really cool things happen in music. And the contrast between like the abrasiveness and just like some of the nasty chords and stuff and the effects and everything.
Soft loud.
Yeah. But with the contrast between the nastiness and then the beauty of the,
yeah.
of the melodies, like and just how genius they were.
That's what makes it work.
Freaking awesome.
Which I guess you could argue maybe that's why regular top 40 pop stuff isn't as I don't know. It's not as appealing at least to me anyways. It's because it's very much one thing. It yeah. doesn't have that same
no more contrast.
Totally. So I guess that's why I gravitate more towards the hard rock pop.
Yeah, let's or is, pop.
Or the dark stuff, the dark side.
Yeah.
the sides of that dark coin, I think that I heard
yeah.
before. Absolutely. Hey, not to throw a very hard curveball at you both, but I love an answer to why there is something rather than nothing.
Oh boy. Hmm. 42.
All right. Finally, it took Ghost Frog and it took 73 episodes, but the answer has been given 42.
That's right. The real question is, what's the question?
Wow. So, So I'm going to, listeners always expect an answer from that. And for me, 42 is a complete and total answer. And for listeners, just so you know, we're talking about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and that story where it's been argued, shown, and some have done it in a PhD thesis that the answer to all these questions is 42. And here we have arrived with Ghost Frog telling us that. So thank you guys.
Yeah, yeah, no problem. I almost panicked when you asked that question, but then I thought to myself, don't panic. And then the answer just came to me.
Guys, they're going to think this is pre-rehearsed. Does everybody, this is This is off the cuff. Taylor Swift, Ghost Frog, Douglas Adams, 42 is the answer we've been waiting for.
You can quit the podcast now because you got the answer.
All the answers.
You don't know what dilemma you put me. I mean, the rest of my day is shot because of these guys. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I'm going to do it. Hey, I will say one thing before I ask you a final question. In you might be interested in this. I am actually going to create a weird short offshoot of this show, and it's going to be called Nothing Rather Than Something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's going to be 4 episodes about the theory of emptiness and nothingness. That's all it's going to be. So, maybe I just have to go that direction after you gave the big answer of 42. But,
dude, that sounds so cool. I'll be listening to that.
All right. I already got some subscribers. We're good. Hey, Ghost Frog. Just wondering if you could let listeners know where to find your material, where to download the music, how to connect with you, with the band. Can you just share some of that?
You can, follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And then we have a website, ghostfrogband.net, where we post updates on things. We got a YouTube channel that has all our music videos on there. If you just type in Ghost Frog, I'm sure you can find it.
And then a Bandcamp.
Oh, yeah, and we have a Bandcamp page that has all our albums available. And then we're also on all the streaming services and stuff, too. But, of course, we encourage you to go through Bandcamp if you want to support us.
Yeah. There's some sick T-shirts on there, too.
But yeah, we got quite a bit of merch on there, like some cool tapes and shirts. And we got a vinyl, a really... really sweet vinyl version of our new album Astral Arcade available on there. And yeah, we're working on writing the next one. So after this podcast is over, we're probably going to start diving into some songwriting.
Yeah. Oh, dang. That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing, that too. And yes, Bandcamp, a service I love, and, everybody check that out. Ghost Frog on Bandcamp. Also, Doomed and Stoned collections of doom metal, stoner metal, and such. You can find some of that stuff on Bandcamp. Guys, as I let you know at the beginning, I've been really excited to have you on the program and really enjoyed talking with you. I do deeply enjoy your music, and I am serious when I'm only listening to Ghost Frog and Taylor Swift since December. That'll change. But, only
that is one of the greatest compliments we've ever gotten.
That is huge, man.
I'm glad it worked out that way, but I just wanted to extend.
We need to do a tour with her.
That would be.
I think it makes sense. The merch will be incredible on both sides for sure. And,
we need to do a collabo.
Fantastic. Hey, thanks guys for hopping on the program. I wish you great success, and for myself and other listeners out there, we really look forward to some of the new material that you'll probably be working on soon, as you said. So thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us.
Have a good one, Ken.
All right. Quinn Schwartz, Carl Boeheim from Ghost Frog. Thanks so much. Good night.